Today we are studying grace. Praise the Lord. If you have never heard grace before, raise your hand. Of course, we have all heard grace before. So we know what grace is. So, by way of introduction, we'll start from Genesis. In Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And when he created the heavens and the earth, he saw that it was good. And he went ahead and created the birds, the animals of the sea, then the animals of the land. And he told them to multiply, yeah? He told them to fill up the earth, fill up the waters. But at some point, he created man. And one unique thing about man, he said, have dominion, right? And the reason you have dominion is because you have the nature of God. Unfortunately, by the time we get to the next chapters, we find out that man lost this dominion by disobedience. And because we lost that dominion, something happened. It means the glory that is responsible for that dominion also left. Now, God loves us. You know God loves me? Do you know God loves me? Thank you. God bless you, ma. Please personalize it. God loves me. So he did not just say, okay, because you have messed up, I'll just destroy you and start again. He put forward a plan to restore us to that dominion. And it's a two-part plan. The first thing is to take away the offense and the consequences of that offense, which mercy made available. But just taking away the offense does not restore us back to that dominion. We need to get back into the person and the nature of God. And realistically, we can't do that by ourselves, because we did not even know how we got it in the first place before we missed it. So what God did is to make available things that we cannot do for ourselves freely. And if you can imagine it, if it can ever come to your heart that I need this thing and I can't do it for myself, but God can make it available, that is what grace has come to place in your hands. Praise the Lord. So grace is that unmerited favor, unmerited gifts that God makes available to us as humans. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know that I tend to sound a little boring, but please don't be bored. Tell your neighbor, please don't be bored. Thank you very much. Now, it is important to understand that as long as you live on earth, everything God has proposed for you as a man, even if you decide to live life on your own, you cannot achieve it except God helps you. If God shows you a template of your life, that this is your future, and you're like, oh, this is my future. Ah, okay, let me just walk towards it. And God does not help you, it is not a curse. You won't meet that future. Efforts alone will not get you there. And that is why grace is not just important, it is an absolute necessity. Praise the Lord. I would split these sessions into like two or three sessions so that we can follow a pattern and then we can find some form of application. I'll talk about our walk with God in the light of grace. Then I'll talk about our daily lives, how we can access this grace. Then we'll quickly take a detour to find out what can kill grace and what can grow grace. Praise the Lord. Now, I need you to understand that because it is free, because you can't create it, in our walk with God, grace has to be available before you came to Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, and it's quite popular. You are saved by what? Grace, through faith. Before your mother conceived you inside your womb, there was grace available to bring you to salvation. Some people call it the prevenient grace. It's the grace that even when you were doing everything that you liked, when you were living based on your own dictates, God made available so that you will be able to trace your path home. And for some of us here seated, we are thinking, it's been a while, God. I come to church. It's not that I don't come to church. In fact, I say prayers with my family. But there is that thing that I felt when I first came to Christ that I don't feel anymore, that I don't even know is there. It's almost like I'm just going through the motion. Grace is available because you do not really need to, not really, you do not have to do anything, full stop. It's just there. Praise the Lord. And no matter how your sins are, no matter the things that you think are, they are separating me from God, they are making me feel far away from God, no matter if, it does not even matter if it's an addiction, this morning, there is enough grace to bring you back to that point. Praise the Lord. And it is also important to know that God will continue to nudge at you. God will continue to call you. God is continually in search of you, hoping that you will come home. He leaves the 99 for the one. Not because the 99 are unimportant, but because you need to come to the light so that you can manifest. There are lives attached to you that if you do not manifest, they are doomed. So God is calling you and nudging you. And in the mighty name of Jesus, you will find that coordinates to come back home this morning in Jesus' name. There is also the grace that justifies. And we can see this in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 and 20, from 26 to 40. It's the grace that brings the reality of the finished work of God to us. Now, when we get saved, I don't know for everybody, at least for me, when I gave my life to Jesus, I basically went back to doing the things that I used to do. And it felt like, God, the moment I gave my life to you, I'm supposed to be different. But I wasn't different. The reality is that there's a measure of grace that is increased unto us that daily as we live, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, as we yield to the promptings of the Spirit, God is able to bring us into his finished work of rest. That the righteousness that has been imputed unto us, we can begin to live it out. That is the grace that appears to you, that begins to prick your conscience so that you don't do those things that separate you from God. Praise the Lord. It is the grace that justifies. So, God that brought you into the light of his salvation, he is also the same God that will keep you into the light of his work with you. Praise the Lord. You don't have to do any other thing than by faith accept. What did I say? And I need to strike a balance here. Because what I'm about to say, you will first of all open your eyes. You don't necessarily have to come to church to obtain this grace. But because this grace is available to you, you will come and fellowship with the brethren. You don't necessarily have to stop that sin for the grace to be available to you. But because that grace is available to you, it will help you stop that sin. And that is why you can live a holy life. Praise the Lord. If for any reason you feel like, there's nobody that is holy, this grace is available to lead you into holiness. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 to 26. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 to 26. And Romans chapter 4, verse 3, verse 5 to 12. I'll read Romans chapter 4, verse 3 very quickly. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Excuse me. For what said the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's all you need to do. Just believe God. Just have faith. What did I say? Just have faith. It's already available. And it is this same grace, according to Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. That now leads you into sanctification. It is made available to you so that you do not just forsake that sin, but you can now become empowered to deny every form of ungodliness. It's teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That is what the grace of God has come to achieve. So it doesn't just take you out of sin and leave you on your own. It does not just help you to live above sin. It also helps you to take a stand against sin. Implication, when God saves you with his grace, the reality is that ultimately you will begin to bring people into that grace. Ultimately, you will begin to tell people it is possible to live a holy life. It is the reality of a child of God that I am holy. It is not that I will be holy. It is not that in the past or when I gave my life to Jesus, I was holy. It is that it is a continuous thing. And this grace makes it available. Praise the Lord. Now, there are dimensions of grace that we can walk in that is just beyond our relationship with God and the things that we will do to further God's purpose. Like I said, grace is not just, not that it's not just, it's basically everything that you cannot do for yourself that God does for you. And there is a law in understanding the Bible that is called the law of first mention. The first time grace was ever mentioned in the Bible was not to help someone repent of their sin. It was actually to preserve them. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. Genesis 6 and verse 8. It talks about the story of Noah. God had finally given up on mankind. And typically he was supposed to destroy everyone, correct? Abi, or was Noah not human? But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, he said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I need to clarify, and I'm moving to the dimensions of grace now. I need to clarify that what grace really does for you is that it steers you into certain actions, even in the face of destruction. The world was going to be destroyed by a flood. But grace for Noah was God telling him to build an ark. Praise the Lord. You may have been experiencing certain things. Grace for you might be God saying, don't do it this way. Do it that way. Praise the Lord. Grace is not something that will come with so much fear. No. It is just the reality that dawns on you that I could not have done this by myself. I could not have thought of this by myself. I could not have come to this reality by myself. And it is supposed to be like oxygen that you cannot do without. The moment you feel like you can do without grace, I am not lying to you. That person is finished. May we not be finished in Jesus' name. There is grace for exemption, as in the case of Noah. There is grace for exemption and preservation from judgment, as in the case of Lot, Genesis chapter 19 and verse 19. A certain city, Sodom and Gomorrah, was going to be destroyed. But if it were not for the help of God, or could Lot, let me just ask, could Lot have saved himself? Could Lot have delivered himself? But God took him. When he was even sluggish, God took him by the hand and took him out of the city. There is grace to preserve you in times of judgment. And by that, I speak to everyone who has been facing generational judgment, that by the grace of God, you are released today in the name of Jesus. we command and we receive your testimony of release in the mighty name of Jesus. There is grace that prevents you from suffering corruption. Romans 11 verse 5 and 6. It prevents you from suffering corruption, that your soul will not be corrupted. And there's also a grace that commands God's presence and direction. Exodus chapter 33, verse 12 to 17. Moses was talking to God, and basically, God was like, don't worry, you people like have stronger, there'll be no problem. I will send an angel to follow you. Maybe after he kills like 3,000 people, you people will wake up. But Moses said, we will not go except you follow us, except your presence goes with us. Many a times, the reason we don't see the hand of God is that the moment we see a plot of our lives, we feel like we can do it. So we begin to put strategies in place. We begin to skill up. We begin to call people. The person that gave you the idea, the person that showed you the vision, you forgot him. You're like, God has helped me now. Heaven help those that help themselves. Is that correct? No. God helps everyone. He says, I will not go except if you go with us. And God said, in I think verse, from around verse 15 and 16, then to 17, that I will follow you. My presence will go with you. And I decree that from today, in every way we've been struggling simply because we have been lacking the presence of God, the grace of God gives us his presence in the name of Jesus. The grace of God makes his direction available in the name of Jesus. The grace of God commands favor. Praise the Lord. When he gives you a vision, Genesis 39 and verse 4, and he has shown you the template of your life, it is the grace of God that will command it. Joseph had a vision that was going to lead, but he found himself in slavery, and the Lord gave him favor. He found grace in the sight of his master. The Bible says in 39 and verse 4, it said, Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer over his house and all that he had, talking about Potiphar, and he had put into his hands. The reality is that when grace speaks for you, even in the place of inconvenience that you are right now, the Lord will make a way for you. While he is preparing you, he will begin to make a way for you. He will begin to give you access. The way you are looking at it and saying, God, this is not enough. God is saying, hold this for now. I am making all things beautiful in a season. Praise the Lord. Grace brings you into rest and it gives you strength. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 2. And ultimately, according to Psalms 84 verse 11, God gives you grace and glory. The ultimate expectation of God giving you grace is that he's glorified in you and his glory begins to show forth in you. Praise the Lord. It means that if your life is not yet glorious, I have a good news for you today. The grace of God is about to be supplied in abundance in the mighty name of Jesus. The grace of God is about to be supplied in abundance in the mighty name of Jesus. That struggle comes to an end in the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 also says, he will give you strength. Grace makes strength available. Praise the Lord. He says, my grace is enough for you, is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You don't have to be excellent at what you are doing. Praise the Lord. That looks like, no, I don't agree with that, correct? Because what actually shows your excellence is the hand of God upon you. Praise the Lord. When the hand of God comes upon you, you begin to enjoy a certain dispensation where whatever you touch becomes excellent. So what has been happening so far that makes you feel like you are falling short is that you've been going at it on your own. By strength shall no man prevail. God is calling you into a place of rest today and is asking you, will you accept my free gift? will you take this freedom that I am handing over to you? Because we all need to think about this and decide. Nobody ever says, God, I don't want your grace. Nobody ever says that. It is in our actions that we come to the reality that we're actually rejecting God's grace. So what are those things that makes us look like we are rejecting God's grace? Or those things that we shouldn't do if we want to carry God's grace? Number one, don't take the grace of God in vain. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Since we then, workers together with him, beseech ye also that ye not receive the grace of God in vain. When God gives you grace, use it. Tell your neighbor, use it. Use it. Some of us have said, I carry grace, right? When you carry grace, when God has given you grace, use it. If you have the grace in certain places, exercise it. Let God know that this gift is available. Praise the Lord. When God knows that this gift is available and is being used, then it can multiply. You remember the story of the talents? Those that don't use their talent, what happens to them? Eh? They lost it. You will not lose your grace in Jesus' name. The second thing you want to also do is that you do not want to take God's grace for lasciviousness. Jude verse 4. Some people are taking God's grace for lasciviousness. Lasciviousness simply means license. So because you carry the grace of God, you want to do anyhow. You want to behave anyhow. You think that grace covers it. Yes, grace covers the multitude of sin, but it is not that we will now remain in sin and say that the grace of God should abound. Apostle Paul said, God forbid. So we must not take the grace of God for license to do anything. Praise the Lord. So it means that the grace of God should lead you towards holiness and not away from it. So I already mentioned that we should not remain in sin. Romans 6 and verse 1. And it also goes forward further to say that it is not once saved, always saved. The grace of God that appeared to you is not the one that will now allow you to sin and you now come back and ask for forgiveness. It should actually take you to the place where you are empowered to live above sin. Praise the Lord. Are you still bored? Are we bored? Don't lie, you are in church. Praise the Lord. Now, the next thing you don't want to do is that you don't want to stop coming boldly and asking for grace. Sometimes we feel like we have arrived and we can do this on our own. And that actually cost us a lot. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 tells us to always come boldly to the throne of, answer me now, to the throne of. So it means that if you need God's grace 10 million times, how many times should you come? The moment you have a revelation that I cannot do this on my own, just pack your bag. God, I have come again. Oh, have mercy. Have mercy. Don't ever get to the point where you feel like, this my problem is too small for God. Let me handle it myself. No. God wants to hear. He wants to make grace available. Even if you have an idea, he can make it better than what you think or imagine. And because he knows tomorrow, he can also ensure for whatever you will meet on the way. Praise the Lord. And don't think that you can earn grace. Praise the Lord. You can ask for it, but it's an undeserved favor. So there's nothing you can do. You come to church, sweep the floor. No. Those ones are necessary. They are attributes of a son. Things that you are supposed to do as a son, as a child of God. But that is not what makes grace of God available to you. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. It is not something you can earn. You did not earn it. Galatians 5, 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are falling from the grace. If you think that the law will make grace available, no. There's nothing you need to do. God makes it available to you. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. There's one more. No, actually like two or three more. But I'll pack them together. Bitterness, unforgiveness, pride, and idolatry. Hebrews 12 and verse 15, Jeremiah 16, 13. If you have bitterness in your heart, if you don't forgive other people, grace can be difficult to come through. You need to extend the same grace you are expecting of God to others. Praise the Lord. People will offend you. Praise the Lord. Please look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, people will offend you. People will find your trouble. But make sure you keep it so that they don't find it. Praise the Lord. It is not a matter of, this person offend me, I won't forgive him. It's not a matter of malice. You see, malice, bitterness, and all of them like that, is the subtle way the devil actually wants to rid you of everything that God has made available to you for free. Praise the Lord. So I beg you by the mercies of God, no matter if you don't take anything away from today, every of the malices, every of the unforgiveness in your heart, please let them be dissolved. Forgive. Praise the Lord. Idolatry, Jeremiah 16 and 13. This was talking about generational flows of punishment from God. And when they traced it, God was telling them that you are even more wicked than your fathers. That you have done more than your fathers have done. You have followed other gods. And you will say, why are you telling we are Christians, right? Because the 21st century idolatry is not in worshiping the gods of your fathers. It's actually in worshiping the things that takes your attention away from God. And it is also those things that does not allow you to see the grace that has been made available to you. So it is very important that we combat this. And as we begin to lay all these forms of idolatry, it could be your business, your work, it could be your money, it could be your children, it could be your spouse, it could be your family, it could be your policies, your country. As we begin to lay them on the altar, we begin to find grace to handle them properly. So every form of idolatry that has come into our heart, may the Lord expose them in the mighty name of Jesus. And as God exposes them, we receive grace to deal with them properly in Jesus' name. How do we grow in grace? Very quickly. Okay, before we grow in grace, I want to say something. And it's probably a little tangential. Grace comes with a package of salvation. In fact, the salvation package itself is grace. Praise the Lord. Implication is, it is available to you as a child of God. And I think I don't want to forget this. And this is how it works. You see those policies that have been standing against you, ask for the grace of God. What did I say? Okay, thank you, Lord Jesus. There's someone here, like, you're trusting God for the fruit of the womb, but it's not that you've not been conceiving. You've been having a couple of miscarriages. By the mercies of God, the grace to carry to manifestation we receive for you with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. We ask that your testimony is complete in the mighty name of Jesus. So, the package of salvation is complete with grace. So, please ask. Ask. Ask until your joy is full. Now, how do we grow in grace? Stay on God's word. That one cannot be overemphasized. God sanctifies you with his word daily. And as he sanctifies you, he brings you into the expanse of what is available in his word. John 17 and 17. Talk to God honestly. Look, when you come to God, don't form. Praise the Lord. Some of us don't pray because we don't know the Bible. But it's not supposed to be like that. As you pray, he will teach you his word. Just come and tell him what you know. God, I am tired. Come and give me strength. It's easy, correct? You may not have Bible verse to back it up yet. But as you come every day, he will show you where it is in his word that is available. Praise the Lord. Tell God honestly. Rely on him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, we've read it. Repent quickly and don't hide. So if you make a mistake, don't hide your sin. Don't hide. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. First John 1 and verse 9. Renew your mind daily. Romans 12, 2. Renew your mind daily. Let the word of God transform you daily and stay in the right environment. Don't stay with grace killers. Stay with people that can strengthen your grace. Stay with people that can give you testimony of what the grace of God has done in their life so that you can know that this is available for you too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I need to flog this a little bit. Please permit me. If you are looking for a job and you stay in the company of those who don't have a job and they keep complaining every day that there's no job anywhere, your reality subconsciously becomes no job. But if you stay in the midst of people that say, even though there is a casting down, what the word of the Lord says to me is that there is a lifting up. Before you know it, grace is supplied to give that word wings and walk in your favor. Praise the Lord. The earth is spiritual. If you stay in places that make you weary, you become weary. Don't stay there. Praise the Lord. Stay in places that strengthen your faith to receive the grace that is available. Praise God. Okay, I've mentioned that you should give grace unto others too. So as you are expecting grace from God, also make grace available. What God has given you freely, give it to other people freely as well. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. And this one is very important. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. It talks about husbands and wives honoring each other. And for some reason, while I was preparing this, the Lord brought this to my heart, that many prayers are not being answered simply because, I think we can go to verse 7 directly, simply because husbands and wives are not giving each other grace. Praise the Lord. You are not making allowances for each other. And I think the Lord is dealing with that today in the mighty name of Jesus. But we need to honor each other. We need to begin to interact with each other so much that we are seeing grace on one another. Praise the Lord. And as we do so, may the Lord help us in the mighty name of Jesus. I want us to rise up. I started from the fact that the first thing grace does for you is to strengthen your walk with God, to give you salvation, to make it available to you. But beyond salvation, He wants to walk with you daily. I want you to tell God that, Lord, help me. Let me see the light of grace for what it is, the gift that you give. That help me, that I will see, and I begin to walk in this reality. That if there's anything I have not seen in grace, open my eyes and let me see in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for answered prayers. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Father, your word has come. That which it is meant to do, let it begin to do immediately in the mighty name of Jesus. From today henceforth, whatever effort is unable to deliver, we command by the mercies of God, grace puts it in our hands in the mighty name of Jesus. From today henceforth, everything that we have struggled for and they have refused to come, by mercy and the grace that we have found today, we enter into rest concerning them in the name of Jesus. And they begin to show up in the name of Jesus. They begin to show up in the name of Jesus. The Lord says that in the seventh year, the Lord rested. In the seventh day, the Lord rested. And in the seventh year, the land rests. In the mighty name of Jesus, for that person who has been here for 7 years and has been struggling all through, in the mighty name of Jesus, we agree that this year you rest. Everything that is needed for your rest to be complete, we receive in the name of Jesus. This year you rest. On every side you rest. Round about your Jerusalem we command peace. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for answered prayers. Lord, we raise every heart here that is addicted unto you in the mighty name of Jesus, because your grace has found them today. In the name of Jesus, victory over the addiction we receive in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, that addiction that is about to break that home, there's a resolution right now in the name of Jesus. We command that there is a full resolution in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayers. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray for every pain, every organ that has refused to cooperate, that in the mighty name of Jesus, there's a release of grace for healing. From the back to the back of the auditorium, there's a release of grace for healing. In the name of Jesus, what you could not do, even with your prayer, by faith this morning, the grace of God releases unto you. In the name of Jesus, the grace of God releases it unto you. In the name of Jesus, you are healed through and through. You are healed through and through, in your mind, in your body, and in your soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Praise the Lord.